Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John, Lance, and Dell, and off we go. And how about the weekend? All right, so let's get right to it.
It was busy.
No,
it wasn't always good, but it was busy.
All right, for right here, though, so many people. Why would you take a quarterback? Why would you take this guy? What about what you missed out on an opportunity to fill holes? Why would you take this guy? So Davis Mills, break it down at 67.
Well, I'm with everybody. This makes no sense to me. And Davis Mills, to me, once you get past Mac Jones, Davis Mills has the best chance to be an NFL quarterback. So let me go through the good first. Davis Mills was a five-star quarterback. He was the top pocket passing quarterback in the entire nation coming out of high school, going to Stanford. He suffered two major injuries, which kept him out of most of two of the seasons. He's only started 11 games, or he's played in 11 games. I think they were all starts, 11 starts. That's it for his career. He came out this year. He could have gone out, obviously, and kept, you know, stayed in. Here's the problem I have with this, John. You are going to be bad next year. Right now, after the draft, you have the worst roster, I think, in pro football. I think there's a chance. If it's not the worst, it's one of the three worst. You should be one of the favorites to be the worst team in pro football. There's talk that Deshaun Watson's out for all of 2021. That was the rumor that started coming out yesterday. So if you know that you're going to have a top-rated pick next year, and you know that at some point you're going to be able to move Deshaun Watson for draft capital, because if you don't know that and you say, well, we just don't know what's going to happen, then you're not doing your job to work forward and project. Draft is a projection. What is your projection for Deshaun Watson? Suspension, and then he will be available on a contract that still has time on it, and he's a very good player, and there will be teams who need quarterback. You're going to get three firsts at least moving forward at some point. The question is when. So you got all this stuff, and I understand the concept of we want to find competition at every position. Absolutely. You should want that. But we're talking about a guy that, okay, why are you worried about getting competition for Tyrod Taylor and competition for Ryan Finley at backup? Why are you worried? And even if you think he's going to be, has a chance to be pretty good, why in the world would you settle for that in the third round this year, as opposed to, let's get a position. It's not like you don't have a ton of major, massive needs of guys who don't have the injury background and who have better production and a cleaner draft profile to choose from at cornerback, at defensive line, at pass rush, at wide receiver at that particular spot. So instead, they went and got a position that they're likely going to have to look at in within a year to 2 years. Why are you drafting Dave Ragone?
Are you sure he's Dave Ragone, though?
No, he's got a chance to be better than Dave Ragone.
Okay.
But my point is, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Well, but
he would have been a great pick for Washington football team. Great pick for them.
Why?
For the Texans?
Why? They're in much the same position. They don't have their guy yet.
But Washington isn't going to have the draft capital and the top pick. They have a very good defense. Well,
What if they projected Davis Mills to be a really good quarterback?
Well, they obviously do. Well, then that's great.
Well,
but you have to project him at that spot to me based on what you... Okay, do you think you're going to be bad in the future? If they're being honest with themselves, do they expect to be a good team? Then I would think, how often are you going to have a bottom five pick? You hope not to have one very often. That's where the best quarterbacks are found.
So,
doesn't it stand to reason that you would have a better opportunity to get a better quarterback?
Well, you can. It's not like you can't get a better quarterback next year. Okay, so
you could. Yes, you could, and that's my point.
Yeah,
you probably are going to.
Yes.
So why get a guy who's likely going to be a backup?
Well, but even if he is, well, but if you throw it against the wall and it sticks, then you go, "Holy crap, we got something that sticks."
That's great. You're throwing something against the wall. Go look at how many of the the best quarterbacks come from the third
round. So who was there? Who was there that you would have preferred over Davis Mills?
Here, I'll pull up the round three selections for you, and I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I can get you, it'll be easy. Elim McNeil was on the board, who's the next. He could end up being a DJ Reader for you. That's one guy I would have had. And he's a very athletic, big, physical player who can play in the middle of the defense. Hold on a second. Let me pull my draft tracker up. And I'll give you what I would have done. My whole point is you're probably going to draft quarterback next year. So why draft a guy that you wouldn't expect to play ahead of him? Like, is this the reverse Kirk Cousins RG3 where you draft Kirk Cousins first and then you go try to get your RG3 and you say, see, Kirk Cousins ended up being good.
Well, your guy, Paulson Adebo, would have been available.
Your guy, Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, no, Paulson Adebo is one for sure.
He was still there.
He was drafted by the Saints with the 12th pick in that round, so 9 picks after.
Now, I do believe the Texans planned on trading back. I believe that was the plan. But Kyle Trask was taken with the last pick of the second round. Kellen Mond went off the board right after that. And the Texans were like, oh, crap. I think Davis Mills was always going to be their pick. I think they wanted to move back, but they were worried about getting slick and moving back because the other two quarterbacks were off the board. There's only one quarterback left in that draft.
Well, I just don't like that everybody has just assumed that Davis Mills is...
No, Davis might be... I don't like the strategy of it because if you're the Texans...
Well, if you get your guy in the third round...
It's not going to be your guy. This
he
is
might
not
be your
be,
guy. How do you know that?
Because this is a... From a probability standpoint,
right.
The probability is your guy is more likely to come from the first pick next year than it is from Davis Mills this year. That's just the reality. It's more likely to come in the first round than third
round.
That
is true. I agree wholeheartedly. But you don't know that Davis Mills can't play and can't be a pro quarterback.
Here are guys I would have drafted. Aaron Robinson, cornerback, who I had much higher grades on. Davis, I thought, was going to go in the second to third round. He went where I thought he would go. My personal grade on him was 110th in the class, personally, out of the whole draft class. Guys I had with second-round grades, Aaron Robinson from Central Florida, who went shortly after, Elim McNeil, who was the eighth pick of the round. Aaron Robinson was the seventh pick. I would say Benjamin St. Juste from Washington football team was the 10th pick of that draft. Paulson Adebo was the 12th pick. Josh Palmer was the 14th pick. Every one of those, I would have been, they fit needs. They're good football players. I think they fit the physical profile the Texans typically look for. I think every one of those guys would have been good selections. I understand. I don't mind. I recognize the way I have guys ranked versus other people. That's the way it is. I don't personally think my stuff's better than theirs or anything like that. But what I am saying is from a strategic standpoint, it made no sense for you to. I think this entire draft is Nick Caserio panicked, and I'll get to why I think he panicked the Nico Collins pick as well, or how he handled it. Nick Caserio is going to wish he had this one back. Two things. Chris Ballard told me in 2017, his first draft, he wanted a do-over as soon as it was done. It was his first time handling a draft. If you've ever done fantasy football drafts or fantasy football auctions, which, and I'm bringing this up because many of you have had this feeling before, and, John, you've done it, where as soon as it's over, you're like, damn it, I just wish I... You hear where other guys are picked, and you see how it goes, and you're like, man, I wish I could do this totally over.
Yep.
Because, and I think, and Ballard had that situation at 17, and Thomas Dimitroff, who I did something with on Thursday, he talked about the big mistake that they made later and was you know, not worrying about the trenches, and then also then overdrafting for need toward the end, which... I'm not saying the Texans, you know, need a. I'm not trying to make that point here. The Texans' needs are, they're across the board. Yeah. It's not like Atlanta saying we need to get a pass rusher. The Texans need a billion picks. So what I'm telling you is, with the second pick of Nico Collins, apparently the Texans traded up, and then traded up again. They gave up a fourth and a fifth rounder to trade up from 109 to 89,
right,
and draft Nico Collins. Now I like Nico. I think that the Texans, to me, he was like in the 50s. I thought Nico Collins I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good fit, but he's got to be in an offense where he's on the move. He can't do a lot of short area route running stuff. That's not who he is. He's tight in the hips. He's not going to get out of breaks quickly. But if you get him down the field, you know what he is he's perfect in a Kyle Shanahan offense and Gary Kubiak, where you got the posts and the over routes and all that, where you're always on the move, and he's got a chance to separate because he's got a lot of build-up speed, but it takes him a while to get going. So you don't want all the short area, quick throw stuff. He's not good in that. But and to that point, that fits with what Davis Mills did at Stanford. They're more pro style. So that's good. I like the addition of Nico Collins. I just don't like giving up that draft capital and panicking. And why are you making picks when 161 is on the board making a pick and you're already trading up? You're already trading up with hold on, wait, 161. Let me read what the Texans said, because they were asked a very specific question about why they were trading. Pick 61 was on the board or something like that. The Texans were already maneuvering around, and so I just think with the draft, I'm not sure Nick Caserio let it come to him. They didn't come out with a cornerback. They didn't come out with a defensive lineman. They got a linebacker in the sixth round who's a special teams player. They did get a defensive lineman. Yeah. And Roy maybe can develop. He's a play hard guy. He had a pretty good workout. Maybe he can develop into a backup, which is fine. It's a seventh round pick. I just felt like with a fourth, a future fourth, and a fifth, I thought Nick Caserio had the worst draft of. I did the AFC grades. It was the worst draft of the AFC to me. From in terms of who he got and how he did it. And I don't dislike Davis Mills. I really don't. I actually like Nico Collins. Brevin Jordan, I thought he's a fifth rounder. They got him where I thought they should have got him. That's fine. But I expected them to move back, add capital, to use this as a chance to build. And I do not think they came out of this draft as a building block draft. I think this draft just spoke for itself and it's done. And there's nothing that was done for the future. In fact, they gave away a future pick. So I was really disappointed with how they went about drafting. We'll see if the players end up being good players. And once again, I think Davis Mills has a chance to be a decent quarterback. I really do. But the Texans are going to be in a rare position where they're going to have draft capital from Deshaun, and they're going to have a high pick next year because they're going to suck. They're not going to be good. And that's fine. I just think if with those opportunities, why look at a guy who you think is competing with, you know, who you hope your best case scenario is he's your Kirk Cousins drafted a year earlier than RG3. That's the best case scenario.
Well, so to me, it is everybody has judged. It's over. You're dumb. They're too dumb. Unless they really think that he's got a chance.
Yeah. Now,
and they could have, I mean.
Oh, they liked him.
Better like it.
He had to be the target because they would have traded back
and
picked up picks and still drafted. He was the one they wanted.
That's exactly right. They like him. Now their jobs are on the line. Why is why would you do this? Because maybe you like the guy. Maybe you think that guy in the third round, you got yourself a steal, a guy that can actually play.
Are we going to find out anything about Davis Mills this year or in the upcoming year? Because to Lance's point, you're going to suck, so you might be in a position to draft the guy again. How long are they going to ride with Tyrod, Ryan Finley? When will Davis Mills see the field for this team?
Yeah, they traded for Ryan Finley.
He better see the field.
By the way, the Ryan Finley sixth-round pick, that's a giveaway.
They traded for him, right?
Yeah, they traded for Ryan Finley. You got to back up. What are you doing? You just gave away a sixth-round pick for Ryan Finley because you just drafted this kid in the third round. There's really no reason to give up a six for Ryan Finley.
Is the stream down?
I'll take a look.
Yeah, you better take a look at it because people want to hear about Davis Mills, okay? And we will talk about Davis Mills on the other side as well. We'll be talking about Davis Mills for years to come. Years and years to come. Oh, especially if he's... did you ever hear somebody call Tom Brady? Yeah.
Okay. I have heard of him.
Yeah. Have you heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Because they got him in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Not in the third.
That's great.
Okay.
That's where Tom Brady's come from.
Did you ever hear of Russell Wilson? When they get him?
Did you ever hear of John Elway? Where'd you get him?
Yeah.
Well, you had to trade for him.
First overall.
Well, you're using Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. First overall.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of
Did you ever hear
Andrew
of
Luck?
Ever hear of Joe Montana?
You ever heard of Deshaun Watson? Where'd you get him?
Yeah.
First round.
11th. 12th. Whatever. Yeah, overall. You didn't have the 12th overall pick. I don't know if you heard. You had Davis Mills, 67th pick overall, and one of the all-time greats. Right now, though, I'm talking about, you know who's one of the all-time greats? Doc Linville. That's my man right there. Doc Linville is awesome. Listen, you can go on, well, I don't know if you know if you can go on to Twitch right now with everything that's going on. What I'm not sure if the stream is up. I'm not sure everything's going on, but I can tell you this. If you can look at my hair right now, holy crap, is it good. It's going on. I got it going on right now, and it's all because of Doc Linville. I'm serious about that, too. Now, Fred, it's long, and it's unbelievable. It really, really, really is unbelievable what's going on with Fred right now. But me, it's different. I only saw Fred with a hat at the golf tournament. I wish he would have taken that off, and he could have shown his long, flowing locks, and he could have done this, where he, you know, throws his hair back. But he did. I didn't see that. I didn't see that one time at the golf tournament. But I do know this. If you're looking for the best way to get hair, and it's neo-grafting. And Doc says, our listeners are unbelievably bald. It is unbelievable how many bald people we have listening to this show. And he loves it. But here's the deal. If you haven't made that call yet, you need to. 975hair.com. The Doc is the best. You'll love it. You'll love the process. You'll love everything about it. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow, I'm watching Paul Mills in the first quarter against UCLA. Davis Mills in the first quarter against UCLA. Holy crap.
Is that his highlight tape?
I don't know. The knock is he will sail balls.
Here's
what did you see? Let me see your draft analysis.
Okay, here's what I wrote on Davis Mills, and I spent a pretty good amount of time. I always do on quarterbacks. Here's his bio. I don't write his bio. Chad Reeder does. Mills was top-rated recruit in the country in 2017, coming out of Greater Atlanta Christian High School. Redshirted his first year at Stanford, then played one game as reserve, going 0-2. Took over for injured Kevin for KJ Costello in 2019, starting 6 of 8 games. And here's his stuff: 5 interceptions, set in a school record of 504 yards passing against Washington State. Costello transferred to Mississippi State after the season, so the job was Mills. Team captain, garnered honorable mention All Pac-12. Oh, he didn't mention his injuries there. Okay, well I will. Here's strengths: highly regarded recruit coming out, prototypical size as pocket passer. Has experience working under center. Quality footwork, creates rhythm as a play-action passer. Arm talent to challenge cover two windows and rifle deep outs. So he's got good arm. Snaps lower half into the release, adding to drive velocity. Throwing motion is buttery smooth and effortless. Ball comes out with some zip on tight spiral. Works with impressive anticipation for an inexperienced quarterback. Frequently cuts it loose when target is just getting out of his break. Which means he throws with anticipation.
Yeah, that's good.
Squares hips and shoulders as rollout passer, releases deep out when receiver's coming out of break, can dodge free runner off the edge and collect himself to find receiver. Weaknesses, just 11 career starts, surprisingly low touchdown total relative to attempted passes, below average pocket climb and mobility, needs to read route combinations and allow them to mature, modest operation time to load and fire, poor ball placement, eliminated touchdown opportunities, has a tough time. So that's right. So on some deep balls, instead of just putting it right where it's supposed to be, he forced his wide receivers to alter their path, which turned a surefire touchdown into just either catches or incompletions. Needs to develop eye discipline to hold safeties at bay, too willing to fling the ball into populated coverages, plays with some...
That happened a lot, apparently.
Yeah, plays with some alarm.
That and a lot of balls sailed on him.
Yeah. Plays with alarm from pocket when internal clock goes off. Below average escapability. Yeah. Here's what a West Coast scout told me. This guy's really good. He said he's going to be a starter. He was a big-time player coming out, but he just hasn't been healthy, which is the only reason he never became a bigger name. So that's good. My overall is this is what I say. I thought he'd go in rounds 2 to 3. My NFL comparison is Jarrett Stidham, who was also Jarrett was highly regarded coming out of high school. Jarrett had a buttery smooth, same size. He had a great release.
Talking about NFL.
Well, who was excited about Davis Mills?
Well,
Jared Stidham had some.
Wanted an Andrew Luck comparison.
Yeah, that ain't it.
Okay.
Did Andrew Luck have to struggle to beat out KJ Costello at any point?
Yes. Yes. No. He didn't know he was going to start against the KJ Costello.
Isn't that the only reason he started at Stanford? KJ Costello got hurt and then took over.
Gracious, Jared. Although
he's a better talent than KJ Costello.
But he never beat him out.
So this is the overview. This is what my bottom line is on him. I said there isn't going to be an excessive amount of tape on Mills, but teams will see a player with below-average mobility, good size, and plenty of arm talent for passing attacks looking to open up the entire field. Mills is still in the developmental stage as it pertains to his ability to command the offense and play chess against coverages and blitz looks. He's made for a play-action attack that can promote his timing as a passer and help keep him protected. The injury background and lack of experience are potential stumbling blocks, but the talent is better than the production and worthy of a middle-round pick for development of a good backup to low-end starter. And that's how I see him. And that's who I think he is. Obviously, I just don't draft that player personally before I draft a potential starting cornerback or even a third cornerback. I just don't. I don't think with what the Texans' needs are and with what you are likely to have in the future from a draft capital standpoint, I really saw no reason not to just let Tyrod Taylor roll. But the Texans do not make this pick unless they think this kid is a baller. So don't let Nick Caserio fool you with, we just want to add competition. You know, this isn't a pick where you add competition. I'm all for them adding competition too. But you don't just quote unquote add competition to the quarterback, position. This is a pick where they refused to trade back because the other quarterbacks were gone and they wanted him. They clearly think very highly. They're not going to blow him up, and I get it. They don't want to blow him up too high for everyone to get all to be ready to nitpick and say, you said he was going to be this, that, and the other. But the Texans clearly believe that this guy has big-time potential. So forget what I'm saying. You should be excited that Nick Caserio, a guy who had Tom Brady, he sees this guy as a guy with huge potential. Or he would not have just said, well, we just, you know, are adding competition.
But I thought they had already got their Tom Brady when they spent the 6th-round pick on Ryan Finley. You know,
no, that was for a backup.
No.
What 6th-round pick, though?
Well, there's a 6th-round pick. Ryan Finley for a 6th-round pick. You're right.
He was drafted in, the 3rd?
No. Here's the deal. Is their jobs are on the line. They drafted Davis Mills in the 3rd round to be a starter for this football team.
I'm sorry. Did you say somebody's jobs are on the line?
Yes.
Who's going to fire them?
In 5 years.
Okay.
In 5 years.
That's fair. Well, you mean when the contract's up.
No, because this is...
Jack negotiated the contract. Jack negotiated a $6 million a year contract for...
This is on your resume now.
Yeah. Nick Caserio is impossible to fire. Jack did the deal. And Nick now is going to watch out for Jack. This is a buddy-buddy deal. Make no mistake about it. No one's jobs are on the line now or in the future. Nobody's jobs are on the line. Let's just say that.
In 4 or 5 years, I'm saying. In 4 or 5 years, you got this on your resume saying you thought this guy. And I don't know. I guess a 3rd rounder. A 3rd rounder is iffy at best anyway, right? Honestly.
3rd rounder should be a good backup. Typically, a 3rd rounder is a good backup to a future starter.
Well, okay. So that he fits that bill.
Yeah, he fits the bill of potential to be a good backup in the NFL. That was not good backup quarterback is not. I would put that so low on your list of needed priorities. They don't view him as a potential good backup. They view him as much, much more. I'm just telling you, which should make people happy.
And you know what? And they may be right.
And they may be right.
You know what? No, Davis Mills might be a good starter in the NFL.
That should make you happy. I personally believe with the work that I've done, I don't believe that this is a good strategy. And I'm taking my opportunity to give you my thoughts on the work that I do, which does not mean it's going to be right. For the Texans to draft him and not trade back after 2 quarterbacks went, oh no, they wanted him. So they believe he's going to be much, much more than that. They believe he is going to be a good NFL starter. And then they have the draft capital to draft a quarterback if this year they see things that they say, if they see things they like this year, hey, listen, let's say the Texans hit it. Let's say this guy ends up being Kirk Cousins. Which Kirk Cousins is.
If he ends up being Kirk Cousins,
if he ends
up
being Kirk Cousins, you're going to be in good shape because you'll be able to draft around him and you'll be able to draft other guys in the first round and second round, and you're not drafting quarterback. So I hope they hit on Davis Mills. And I personally believe that Davis Mills has talent, and I think he's got a better chance of becoming an NFL starter personally than Trask or Mond, based on his background, his five-star pedigree, and all that stuff. With that all said, though, I just balanced against your needs and against the future draft capital that you are surely going to have. It just didn't make a lot of sense to add a guy like that. To me, he's a developmental quarterback that a team like Washington, a team like Minnesota, any number of teams could have added so that they can develop him and say, look, we're bringing him in with the idea of being a backup, but he might end up being more than that, like Kirk Cousins was going to be when they drafted him. I don't understand the idea of bringing in a developmental backup to starter when you have so many holes and good talent who is on the board.
And I don't like it if we have to refer to what his high school ranking was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It is. It's part of his resume.
To sell the pick.
Yeah, if part of his resume is he was a five-star in high school. Okay, thanks for that. Thanks. I mean, what does that mean? He has not a full body of work because he was injured, or he couldn't beat out KJ Costello at Stanford. I would like you to take a look at what he did on the field at Stanford before I hear about what his status was.
He did
was.
Have a knee, though. So, then
throw the injury concern in there as well.
I'm not sure about the Costello thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Costello transferred, and then that's when he got the start. Costello got hurt, too, by the way. That's how Davis Mills got in field in 2019. No. So I don't know. But it appears that I would just like to remove his five-star status from the resume.
All so right. Mills suffered a knee injury in his final high school game that he re-injured just as he was done rehabbing in his freshman year at Stanford. He sat out the second year recovering and was completely healthy going into his sophomore year.
This is a good point by KJ. Mills does come to lock. They both started at Stanford. Did any of you start a game at quarterback at Stanford? No.
I started one game. I started one game.
You started zero games.
You know who
ever.
Also? I had one.
You couldn't even. They won't even let you on the campus.
I had one. You know who also started games at Stanford? Paulson Adebo.
Oh.
Yeah.
He kind of did.
Did he start any games there?
Yeah, he kind of did. All right. 729 ESPN 975 713. What do you think of the pick? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Come in. We got a lot to talk about. Don't you go anywhere.
John, you should talk about Absolute Marble. We can't print any papers, but I sent an email telling you when the lives were.
I don't care about emails right now.
You don't?
No. I don't even like emails, but I do like Jeff Aronoff.
There you go.
I love Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. That I do. And if you're looking for a great way to listen, you gotta upgrade your house. I mean, we were just talking about it. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine, he's been in his house for, I think, 30 years or so. And he's talking about, I'm going to put in a golf simulator. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to do all that. How about you got to put something into your house? Otherwise, and he's looking at his, he's got it all paid off and everything else. He's not going to get anything out of it. You know why he's not going to get anything out of it? Because he hasn't put anything into it in 30 years. And what about you? Have you put anything into your home or your business? How long has it been? And if you don't, guess what? You're just not going to make anything on that resale. So here's the deal is you want it to look nicer. That's what you want. You want it to be a great place to live. You want to show it off to people. You want it to be a beautiful place. Outdoor patio, outdoor kitchen, your kitchen, your cabinets, your countertops, your vanities, everything. He can do it all. Jeff Aronoff does it all every single day. All you got to do is call him. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Davis, did you have any idea you'd be drafted by the Texans and how much pre-draft interaction did you have with them?
Not a lot. Still surprised by the call. Obviously very humbled to take on this new challenge in the NFL. Just can't wait to get out to Houston and meet the staff, meet the coaches, meet the players, and start putting my head down and get to work and start earning my teammates' trust.
And that was Davis Mills the other night. So, I mean, just the reaction to me. Then there's this. Say Davis Mills plays this year and plays with Black Bauer. Really? Say Davis Mills plays this year and plays well. Now Deshaun value drops because teams now know you have to get rid of him. Dude, you have to get
rid of him.
I mean,
that's irrelevant, dude.
Because Davis Mills plays well, now
Black Bauer. That's not even close.
Black Bauer.
They're going to bid against each other. This has nothing to do. Everyone knows Deshaun's gone.
Deshaun's gone if you play well.
All you need is two.
If they go undefeated, Deshaun's gone.
Yeah.
If they go winless, Deshaun's gone. If they win eight games, Deshaun's gone.
Wait a minute. Now that Davis Mills had 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, now we've got no draft value for him. Like, no.
Come on.
So after the draft, the Bears traded up, so they're off the market. How many teams are in the quarterback market?
I think you'll have some open up next year. Like,
well, sure, there will.
You want to know? I'll tell you who will be in the quarterback market. Here you go. Atlanta, New Orleans for next year. Atlanta, New Orleans, possibly Green Bay. I would say Philadelphia.
Washington.
There isn't.
I'm laughing. Green Bay,
Carolina,
piss off Aaron Rodgers, and then just go trade. They're going to use Jordan Love to piss off Aaron Rodgers, and then go trade for Deshaun.
Yeah, because they may be. Because they're going to realize. Detroit could be. Trust me, there's no shortage.
The question wasn't about a shortage. I just asked how many.
There's going to be a big market.
I'm talking to the guy on Twitter. All you need is two teams who want them, and there's your market.
Come on, there's one team.
What anything that happens with the Texans is completely irrelevant to his trade.
So you don't believe Deshaun lawsuits, face the franchise stuff, will hurt his value? Even a year from now?
Not realistically, I don't. I mean, I think they'll use it. I think they'll try to use it. I think that a team will say, well, I don't know, Texans. I mean, if there's one team, this is what the one team does. I don't know, Texans. Man, how do we sell them to our owner? We're trying to get our owner to do something. It's going to be hard. You want us to give up all these picks? And you look how expensive he is. If you have two teams who want him, all that stuff goes out the door. It doesn't matter. And Nick Caserio's smart enough. And first of all, he doesn't give any information. His answers on draft day were not answers anyway. Typical where he didn't give answers in the press conference.
It was unbelievable.
So all you need to do, Nick Caserio is not going to give any information to anyone for other teams. So they're never going to know if they're the only team. They're always going to assume there's another team. So they probably won't play that game of, hey, we can't even sell this to our owner. I don't know. Trying to create the buyer's market.
So we've been talking about Davis Mills. What about Brevin Jordan? Good pick.
Yeah, in the fifth round, I think it's fine. I think it means Kahale Warren. They're going to basically say, well, that was a failed experiment. You get nothing. That was a wasted third. Let's take a look now. Max Sharpin, Kahale Warren, Lonnie Johnson, and Titus Howard. This is a huge year because three of those guys need to play well. There's still a chance that two of them will play well and that one of them might. And Lonnie Johnson, Warren is going to be a bust. It is what it is. He has problems. He's what they call a high rep guy. It takes him a while to learn stuff. He has had injuries. He has just not been able to grasp the offense. He's a great athlete. He's got so much potential. But to me, this Brevin Jordan move means that either Warren or Akins are guys that they don't like. And frankly, it might be both. Nick may say, you know what? We can replace either one of them. Neither one of them are. What has Jordan Akins really ever done? He's flashed a few times, but there's nothing to make you say he can't. I mean, he's going to be coming up on a second contract soon. You going to want to give that guy a second contract where he makes more? No, you're not. You'd rather pay somebody a rookie salary for what he does. Jordan Akins doesn't do anything. Now, maybe they didn't use him appropriately. Kahale Warren doesn't do anything. He literally is just a practice dummy. He's just like a blocking.
Well, let's not talk about Kyle. That was a draft.
Well, that's why Brevin Jordan got selected.
Brevin Jordan is going to be a starter.
All right. So, Dell, you watched Brevin Jordan a lot, and you know about him coming out. So I'm actually going to cede this over or offer the floor to you. What I saw was a guy that I thought was going to be a little – he's not quite as athletic as I thought in terms
of – testing numbers will tell you that.
Yeah.
He did not live up to what you might have expected. Move tight end, not a traditional inline tight end, not a good blocker. The Texans would be best to split him out. I mean, creatively, what Miami did, they didn't have a great offensive coordinator his first couple years, but he's not a guy who just wins. I mean, you'll see they'll throw him the ball out in the flat. He's better after the catch, but he got schemed open quite a bit. If you just line him up against someone, I'm not sure it's going to go that great.
The Louisville game was a great game for him, but then when you go back and watch the plays, bust in the secondary
Lashley, the former SMU coordinator's there at Miami. He's a guy who schemed Brevin Jordan open a lot. And he, even with Mark Richt in the years before with Dan Enos, the OC, throw the ball, bubble screen, let him make some plays after the catch. I don't know if you're going to see a guy who you can line up out, split out and go, okay, just go beat a safety on a route. He's not a great route runner. But if you can get him the ball in space, he can make a couple plays. He's a fifth-round pick.
Yeah. He's a fifth-round pick. The Texans got him where they were supposed to. I thought I was going to see more. I was disappointed when I watched him. I think he's just...
Oh, he also doesn't... He doesn't make contested catches either. He's never understood to stick your foot in the ground and go up and make a play. He always faded away from the ball. So instead of even drawing the pass interference, it'd be like, you just let the guy bat the ball
down. John, can I ask you a question? Do you remember when he was a Hurricane and he was really good, and now that he's a Texan, anti-Texan Dell is bringing out all of his ammunition he's been saving up against Brevin
Jordan? No, he was all ACC in 2019. He just is a guy who, I won't call him just a guy, he was pretty good there. He's just not what you're not gonna love him. All I'm gonna say,
there's
he's
nothing,
okay.
Yeah, there's nothing that's really a plus wow about him. But he's still, and I wish he was a better blocker. Now, I do think he's pretty salty after the catch. He's got some physicality, and yeah, I like that. Which means, you know what? But if you're going to be that kind of short, you know, in the flat, catch it and rumble over people, then you need to be a blocker. So he's got to get better as a blocking tight end and become a true Y tight end. So, if the Texans had drafted Tommy Tremble in the third, I would have said, wow, tight end in the third is bold, but Tommy Tremble's a baller. Like, that guy is going to be a good player. But, my boy John Harris likes him enough to make him the 37th player in the draft. 37 in the Harris top 100. And Johnny is somebody who I respect a lot, and he's been doing this a long time, too. A guy's been a player, a coach. So here's hoping I'm wrong and he's right, because I don't care about being right. I just want to be accurate with my assessments. And when I'm wrong, I have no problem being wrong, ever. Never have a problem with it. And I hope I'm wrong about this Texans draft. But if you start stringing together too many bad drafts in a row, you end up being one of the worst teams in football. And that's why the Texans are here, because, well, it's expedited because of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby's moves. Yeah. I mean, they actually expedited it.
All right, let's get
Jay. They gave away picks, actually.
Let's get Jay in here. We said we'd take your call. 713-780-3776. What do you think of the picks? Jay, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm actually glad you played that audio, because a lot of things make sense now. The dark path back is going to be a long one. I think if you look at Nick Cazario's charisma on that call, I mean, it looked like he was talking to a Tinder date for the first time. So them having no pre-draft interactions is highly concerning, especially for a quarterback position. I guess, Lance, from your perspective, is that highly unusual? Secondarily, when you go to Cal and Janice and Hannah's announcement, it was a little spacey, guys. So I just, from a leadership perspective, I'm not sure we had any sound reason in that building. I mean, go play the audio for both of those different interactions. And nothing about that screams competence. I'll let you guys speak to that. I'm out, guys.
Dell, can you find those? So I didn't hear the Nick. I did see the with the 247 picks of the
knowledge.
Yes, that did not scream like that. Didn't look like the other teams. That didn't look like the other teams where the owners got on the phone. Hey, Jalen, Stephen Ross here. Man, we're so glad to have you. Hey, Dave Tepper here. We're so glad to have you. Yeah, it didn't look like the other ones were the owner. Here's Shad Khan. Travis, such a great time to have you here. It was a family photo. It was like, okay, you kids dress up. We're doing our family photo where we take Davis Mills, who didn't even know the Texans even had any interest in him. Yes, that is highly unusual. And this year is the reason it's highly unusual.
But it's happened plenty in the past.
Well, I think the Texans wanted to keep him a secret.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, it gets back to the Texans really like this guy.
You would think, though, they would talk to him more. You would think.
You would think.
This is the tradition. They didn't really talk to Brock Osweiler either.
No,
no, Patriot. Well, the Patriots also kept the quiet. Well, not only him.
There's been other draft picks that he was like, I had no idea.
John, the Patriots players, half of them never knew they were getting drafted by the Patriots. They had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, well, did you have interaction? What were your interactions with the Patriots? I can't tell you how many times I've seen this over the year. Honestly, I didn't even meet with them.
There were other draft picks. As a matter of the Texans, he had no idea he was being drafted by the Texans. That's a Texan strategy, and Nick Caserio has just picked up on it. I don't know. And you're right, with the Patriots as well. 743 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5.
You don't...
I'm looking at him right now. I'm just getting to him.
He's looking at me. I told you this 15 minutes ago.
I know, but I didn't open up the
you
email.
You think it might be a good idea to take a look?
I'm going to look right now. Oh, what about being a champion, Dale?
What about it?
What about that? What about being a champion? What about you with your electricity bill? And I'm telling you right now, right here and now, because it's going to get hot. And this summer, you're going to go, oh, man. My bill is ridiculous. Well, I'm not going to say that. I will never, ever, ever say that in my life because I've been with Champion for a dozen years now. And I'm going to tell you this. It's the best. It is the best. I love, 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 and you will love, love, love being with Champion Energy because you're going to save money every single month. So go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving. Please do it. champion.energy/1560.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Been all around the world.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Live from NRG Stadium, I'm Cal McNair, standing with my mom Janice and wife Hannah and son Calhoun. With the 147th pick of the 2021 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Brevin Jordan, tight end from Miami.
Go, go Texans!
Live from NRG Stadium. Live?
So, and I want to know when this NFL draft turned into, let me say a few words.
Oh, that was brutal. Oh. Chester Pitts.
Chester okay, Pitts.
Chester, this was...
Chester. Okay, now all of a sudden we got to play the music because you got to get off the stage like the Oscars.
Yeah, they played Chester off the draft. And you're just going to do a Texans pick. Nobody cares.
Oh, and by the way, he gave him a shot. I wish I'd have been drafted by Cleveland, but I got drafted by the Texans.
I grew up a Cleveland fan, the Brownies. Let me tell y'all a little story. I'm like, Chester, just do this quarterback pick and get off. No one wants to hear
pick
this.
Pick the great Davis Mills. So, Chet, from now on, Chester Pitts is going to be like, oh, Chester Pitts was talking when he should have been just talking about Davis Mills, okay? Because how great he is.
I was here running the second day, yeah. So, I was here running it, and the ESPN people, it was L. Duncan and some others, and Bart Scott, and they were like, for whatever reason, they were allowed to comment while he was talking. They just didn't let him go on. They're like, we don't care. Just make the pick. I was like,
really? They did?
Yeah.
They did?
I was like, we don't care about this. Just make the pick on the air.
That is funny.
Okay. L. Duncan had enough. By the end, much like myself, by the end she was like, can this draft just be over? Openly talking, but can this just end, please, so I can go home?
Well, she's a big Denver fan.
Yeah, she was upset about their.
Yeah.
Their draft.
She's a big Denver fan, so she didn't like anything about it.
Oh, my God. Denver had a great draft. What's she upset about? Oh, they didn't get Justin
or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, they didn't get the quarterback. Yeah.
Well, give it some freaking time. How are you going to get Aaron Rodgers? They're not trading Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
I mean, Denver had a great draft. I gave him an A+. You got Javonte Williams in the second round. You got Patrick Surtain. You got the best. You got the best corner. You got an excellent running back, and you got a future longtime starting center in the third round. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
What about if you get your quarterback? You got a tight end for years and years to come. You got a...
That sounds really good, too. Whose draft is that?
That's the Texans'
draft. Oh, okay. All right. That's a good point.
And you got a tall wide receiver that can catch touchdown passes.
I like...
And you got a guy that probably would have gone undrafted, but you got him as a special teams guy. And then you got a guy who's going to just block up the middle. He's going to clog up the middle. And you build a Hispanic need.
Nico Collins.
Oh, Roy Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Hispanic need? What does that mean?
I don't know. He said it.
Nico Collins is, I like Nico Collins' ability to catch football. Like his, as a competitive catch guy, he's big. He fights for his space. You're going to like how tough, and you guys have seen him, but he's sneaky fast. For being a guy who's in the 220s, that guy can run. He's a sub 4.5 40 guy. It just takes a while for him to get going.
And you got four little people, yep. And you got him.
Well, you needed a big guy who can make catches. The thing is, I don't really think he's a guy that you want to, see trying to make the short catches. Like he needs room to maneuver.
That's what Brevin is here for.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what Brevin's going to do.
But Dell told me he didn't make contested catches.
No, well,
the guy who makes contested catches.
He's going to be wide open.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Don't need that.
I hope Tim Kelly can scheme him up.
He's going to scheme it up.
He didn't do that himself a lot. Just getting open.
Scheming it up. Oh, you didn't have Tim Kelly. That's why.
Nope. Yeah. And that
Pep.
Is correct.
Pep.
Well.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. No, you got Pep. I'm loving this draft.
No, you're not.
Yes, I'm loving it. It's like McDonald's. I'm loving it. This is one of the great drafts ever. And, you guys, you two, poo-pooing it.
I'm not poo-pooing.
When this turns into one of the great drafts of all time.
You think a great draft starts with the third round? You think usually the greatest draft of all time begins with a third round pick?
It could.
Who probably won't play in his first year.
If Seattle only had, by the way, Zoe's like, what are you guys doing over there? I'm like, shut up. You worked all offseason for two picks. What are you talking about? You did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. They had three picks, Seattle. It's three.
I'm like, they had a 2, a 4, and a 7 going into this draft.
Okay, and they got three picks out of it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I think they did better than the Texans.
Did they, though? Did they get a quarterback from Stanford? No.
No, they have one from Wisconsin already.
Yeah.
They're doing okay.
Okay.
They're all right. I think they're all right. Did their quarterback face 22 lawsuits?
He wanted to leave. Okay, both quarterbacks wanted to leave. Guess what?
Only one of them can't leave now because he's got lawsuits.
Well, yeah, you got to wait. But you know what? Going to get a lot more for him than you get for Russell Wilson right now.
And the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, Seattle got, they stole Stone Forsythe in the sixth. He'll be a longtime starter. Trey Brown, eh. Dwayne Eskridge is okay, fast. Yeah. They did good in undrafted free agents. I mean, they're okay. They had three picks, too. No one's going to get excited about a three-pick team.
No.
The Texans actually gave away a pick this year and one next year. To get Nico Collins. I like Nico Collins. I don't know about giving up extra draft picks for Nico Collins. Like,
you needed a tall receiver.
You needed a great. There were still about 14 of them on the board.
Nico.
We missed that one.
Not named Nico.
Well, he ain't worth moving up that much.
I appreciate the Texans, you know, investing in the quarterback position. A third and a sixth this year, giving Tyrod money. At least they think to themselves, this is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get as many possible career backups I can on one roster.
Tony says, my God, how much pizza did they send Granada?
Are you stuffed on pizza?
I am. Oh. Let's get Richard in here. Here's a subject that is very interesting. What do you say, Richard?
Not so much, guys. Love the conversation. I just heard some stuff from Pendergast yesterday that apparently Aaron Rodgers can make 4 times his salary if he actually became the Jeopardy guy from what he makes as a quarterback per year. I just thought that was pretty crazy. But whether he does it or not, I don't care. And then did you see that deep snapper from Alabama that has never messed up a deep snap in 4 years? And he got drafted by, I want to say, the Panthers. And his father also did it at San Diego State. I just thought that was kind of funny. It's like, wow, you never messed up a deep snap in 4 years, even though it's only 6 plays a game. I didn't think they get drafted that often. But Never mind.
You predicted a deep snapper would get drafted.
I said Fletcher would.
Yeah.
Actually, two of them did. Cameron Cheeseman, and I wrote them both up. You can go find this. If you guys really want to know all about the deep snapper, they're there.
This is the second year in a row deep snappers have been drafted. The Dolphins did it last year.
A deep dive into deep snappers.
I have to, every year, I look at 3 to 4 deep snappers.
Blake Ferguson last year, and then Turd the two Ferguson. This year.
Actually, no. That's actually true. Fletcher, he's not a fast snapper. Like, he doesn't just rip it in there, which is one of the things, but he's accurate. So, yeah.
Have he never missed one?
No, he's accurate. Well, there's different misses. Like, it's one thing to snap. Sometimes you can force your punter to move left, move right. That's a miss. That's considered a miss on teams. They also want it higher, the ball higher than lower. And then they want it in the exact same place, up and in for, on extra points and field goals. They want it high and tight right here. Boom, boom. And so accuracy is relative. So, yeah, all that stuff that you'll hear about, you say to a special teams coach like our guy Thomas McGahee, and T-Mac would probably go, wait, what? Terrence Fletcher never missed a snap. That's bull. I can point out where he – so their misses are going to look – an NFL team's miss is going to look different than the ones that we're thinking of. Let me just put it that way.
Well, but we know one that's never missed a snap.
John Weeks.
John Weeks.
John Weeks. Name one time where you said, that damn John Weeks, never.
Never.
Ever have I said that about John Weeks.
So give him a million.
Would you put him in the Texans Hall of Fame? Based on the Texans.
I'd put him on the Texans Mount Rushmore right now. No one has been better at his position.
No. J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson, John Weeks.
And John Weeks.
John Weeks ahead of Dwayne Brown?
Well, Dwayne pretty much called the owner racist.
Well,
he's got to go.
Dwayne Brown probably.
Dwayne Brown, okay, well, if the owners didn't.
If he didn't call the owner what he called him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So racist. Weeks,
but John Weeks, basically, you're right. He's done his job better than pretty much anybody else other than three players in Texans history. That's a true story. That's not even us joking.
Well,
he doesn't miss games either.
No. Deshaun hasn't. Deshaun has actually had times where he's been very up and down. So can you tell me the up and down time of John Weeks?
What about the punter?
Who?
The Aggie punter.
Shane Lechler.
Oh, yeah. Lechler?
Lechler.
Yeah, Lechler's fine. He was only here, what? 4 years, 3 years. John Weeks has been here for
John Weeks.
No, I know, but I'm talking about. But we're talking about doing your job. Lechler was good.
I mean, Lechler was a Hall of Famer before he got here.
Yeah, that's true.
John Weeks has never had a Colts game like Deshaun did in the playoffs. He's never had one of those games.
No,
that Bills game. At least
there's
early.
Never a game. But also he's never had one like the Tennessee Titans game where Deshaun went off. There's never been a Weeks game where you go like. Remember that game where Weeks totally went off?
What do you mean? If every snap was on target, he goes off all the time.
That guy was ripping him.
John Weeks consistently goes off.
He's right.
I appreciate John Weeks.
How many times have the Texans punted? How many times have they kicked field goals?
And has anything ever...
Oh, my God. More than anything.
And we're just taking it for granted.
The Gary Kubiak era combined with any time that Deshaun wasn't a quarterback, that was a crap ton of field goals / punts.
What website do you use to look at deep snappers, Lance?
What?
What website do you use to look
at I go actually legitimately watch their tape, and then I use some of Pro Football Focus and Stats. ICE have times, and they have trajectory, or they have times, snap times. Usually, they also have bad snaps, and so I can go watch the bad snaps individually and see where they're going. I do a lot of – I'll go to YouTube, actually, a lot on deep snappers because these deep snappers are all nerds. Like, they're deep snap nerds. You go to a deep snapping camp. There's like three major deep snapping camps. They give you a grade, a 5-star, 4-star rating. You get scholarships based on getting out of these camps. Like, it's a really big deal.
I don't know why some parent who has, like, a medium to good – linebacker prospect doesn't just make him a deep snapper.
Yeah.
And just, you know what? You'll get, not only do you provide value on special teams as, you can go run down there and make a play, you snap.
230 pounds, all you got to be. 230, if you can get up to 240, you could be an NFL deep snapper.
How about the Texas fourth or fifth string quarterback that turned into a deep snapper?
Yeah.
For years ago and turned 15-year career.
No, I'm telling you, long snapping is such, but once again, it can't just be you in the yard. you guys send them to these camps, these specialty camps. Yeah. It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
And it's a big deal. But they get you,
JT,
scholarships. You can get an NFL.
Just snapped.
Didn't have the body type for it.
Yes, he does.
Oh, so? They would have loved JT.
Strong kid, they would love JT.
No, but I'm telling you, for what a long snapper is right now, you can't be it. You're not short and stocky. That's the
you're going John Weeks.
Yeah.
What other long
John
snapper?
Weeks is the greatest
of
all
this
time.
Is what you'd prefer, JT.
I'm saying some two-star linebacker should be a deep snapper.
Oh, so Michael Vick couldn't be a deep snapper.
No.
Be awesome.
No.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You just looking for John
they
Weeks.
They do expect
the
you
greatest,
to like
the GOAT.
You got to be you got to be
like,
able
got to be the GOAT.
You got to be able to at least hold up as a guy with your head down. I mean, you're not going to really block anyone, but the point is if you have like a linebacker prospect as your parent, make him a deep snapper. He'll get a scholarship to play linebacker maybe, but he'll definitely get on the roster to deep snapper.
Well, here's the thing is if you want your kid to play basketball, all you got to do is go to produnkhoops.com. That's what you got to do. And my man Keith Tate's going to hook a brother up. That's what Keith Tate do. If you're looking for the best way for your kids to actually have fun playing basketball, here's why. Is because your kids can't reach the 10-foot. You know, the goal is 10 feet. I don't know if you guys heard. It's 10 feet high. So you got little kids, and they're like, Daddy, I kind of want to go outside and play. It hurts, Daddy. I can't push the basketball up that high. Okay, son, daughter, all I'm going to do is lower it. How about this? Is that high enough? No, lower it, Daddy. Lower it. Oh, and then you dunk on Daddy. That's what happens. And listen, this happens all the time. The kids love to play on a pro dunk hoop because you can lower it and you can raise it. Best tempered glass backboard, unbreakable rim, the best rim that you can possibly get, unrustable stanchion. Everything about it is the best. So if you're looking for that goal for the kids to enjoy, have fun, all you got to do is go to produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.